Hello, this is Pastor Galen from Chicago First Church, and welcome to our podcast. Before we hear the message today, I simply want to say that no matter where you're listening from, we're glad that you're here. We hope that the message will inspire you, instruct you, and help you grow in your relationship with Jesus. If you live in the Chicago area, maybe this podcast could be your first step to joining us at C1 in person sometime, or in our online community that meets every Sunday at c1naz.org/live. Well, thanks again for joining us today. We hope you enjoy the message, and more importantly, we pray that you would experience God and that you're encouraged today.
Well, good morning. Welcome to Chicago First. We are excited that you have joined us today, only a few days until Christmas. Thank you for being here. My name is Galen. I'm one of the pastors here, and I'm very excited to share with you today. Those of you that are in the room and those of you that are watching online, thank you for being here. Actually, my parents normally watch online each week in Kansas, about 8 hours away, and it's interesting to see, it's cool to see, I guess, my dad traveling 8 hours just to be in church. That's not exactly true. He came and helped me install the dishwasher last night, take my daughter to the zoo. But it's cool. For those of you that watch online, if you ever want to come visit us, you're always welcome. Come check out each week what you get to see online too. So thank you for being here today. Again, just a few days until Christmas. I'm excited about that. I'm excited to celebrate on Christmas Eve together as a family and as a community together. And since this is a family, I just want to share some kind of exciting news with you. Some of you have been asking. I know not everyone is connected on Facebook or social media or anything. I wanted to share with you. Many of you know that my wife is pregnant. We're expecting and due in April. Thank you. Yeah, thank you. And we just found out in the last few weeks we're having a little baby girl. That's right. So that's my daughter, and then we're going to have another little baby girl. So my house is going to be full of pink and full of girls. And so I'm going to do my best to do what I think I should do, you know, to raise my kids right, the way they should go, protect them from all the terrible opinions of the world, to raise her to love God and love people and love the Kansas City Chiefs. That's what it says. That's what it says. I actually wasn't going to say anything. I am from Kansas Chiefs fan. I wasn't going to say anything about the Bears game until someone before service said, oh, where's your Chiefs stuff? So I said, just for you, I'm going to say something. So we are very excited. And today I'm excited to share with you to continue on this series called Christmas Whisper, hearing the voice of God in the quiet, in the midst of a chaotic season. I'm excited to share with you because I think oftentimes we read this story and we miss some very important things. And this morning, particularly, I want to talk about a Merry Christmas, M-A-R-Y, Mary, and how her response in the Christmas story can teach us a lot about our faith, how to grow with God and how to grow in relationship with others. And so I want to look at her story. I'm going to read you her story as we begin. In the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared and said to her, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You'll conceive and give birth to a son, and you'll give him the name Jesus. He'll be very great, and he'll be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever, and his kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "How can this happen? I'm a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. The baby will be born and will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God, for the word of God will never fail." And Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." Would you pray with me? God, we are thankful to be here today. We are thankful that we get to celebrate the season where you come and draw near to us, that you are the God with us. But God, before we turn specifically to look at Jesus born in a manger in just a few days at Christmas Eve, God, I pray that you could speak to us today through Mary's story. Would you use whatever words I say today to communicate to your people exactly what it is that you want them to hear? So that God, when we hear something that sits differently with us or it makes us think, we could recognize that even now your whisper is those things speaking to us. And let us be comforted by your words and let us be challenged by your words to grow into the people you want us to be. We love you, Jesus. We pray this in your name. Amen. Now, when I hear this story, many of you have heard this story. You read it every year, maybe in church or as a family. And we, again, our eyes gloss over. We've heard of it before. But really, and I would encourage you, if you have your Bible or the Bible app, just open Luke 1. And we're going to sit there in those 10 or so verses this whole time. And I want to start at the very beginning. And if you can help me back there in the tech booth. When the angel Gabriel comes to Mary and just shows up and begins speaking to Mary. Now, it's interesting because when in this series, Christmas Whisper, we've been talking about how do you hear God's voice. When I first read this, I thought this was interesting. So Gabriel just appeared. It doesn't tell us where Mary is. Is anyone with Mary? And we're led to assume that Mary's probably alone because if someone else was there, it probably would have been recorded. And when I think about that, I think it is interesting that if we truly want to hear God's voice, if we truly want to hear God's whisper speaking to us, I think we have to put ourselves in places where we can hear from God. Again, I'm not sure where Mary was, but it's very obvious that when God's messenger showed up to share with her, she was open and available to hear it. And I wanted to encourage you, and this might sound like a weird encouragement, but I want to share some of my own example of maybe how you can hear from God. Because I know the struggle, not just in December, but in this culture that we live in. We are so inundated with noise and distraction that never stops. Our phone is always dinging. Our watch is always dinging. We have 60 unread emails, and life never stops. The kids have to get here and there. And if we don't slow down, we may never hear God's voice. Last Sunday night, I went out and made a fire pit, and I was sitting out by the fire by myself. I said, you know what? I really need to spend time with God. And I don't know if your brain works anything like mine, but normally what that means when I try to sit and be silent and actually focus, maybe your prayer life looks like this too, I get a million thoughts that run into my mind. Oh, I need to do this. I need to do this. I forgot to take care of this. I need to do this. And I finally silenced myself, and then something else came to mind. You see, in my home, we have what's called a Google Home, or maybe you have an Alexa or something, which is great and it's convenient. You can know the answer to anything whenever you want. However, when you have a 2-year-old, they also know that that thing will do whatever it is you tell it to do. And so in our house, what that looks like, my daughter says, Daddy, Paw Patrol, Paw Patrol, Paw Patrol, which is a little kid's TV show. She actually has barely even watched it, but she wants the opening theme song. And let me tell you, friends, this song is 44 seconds long, and it's catchy, and it's like, oh, that's fun. Let me tell you, on the 100th time in one day, not so fun anymore. And so she asks again, so you just put that thing on repeat. And even in our home, there is constant noise. Paw Patrol's always in the background. And it just seems chaotic. So when I sit down by the fire pit to pray, I'm like, all right, I finally got all my work and everything out of my mind. God, and you know what I hear? Paw Patrol, we'll be there on the devil. It's just going over and over and over. I tell you that to maybe encourage you. If you're anything like me, when you try to pray, your brain goes all over the map. The reason I tell you that is this. Don't give up if that's your brain. Anything in life takes practice if you want to be good at it. So don't just throw in the towel and say, I quit, I can't seem to focus. My brain's just too crazy. The more you practice, the better you will get at sitting and putting yourself in a place where you can hear from God. And even eventually, Paw Patrol will go out the window. And now the new one is Jungle Book, the 1967, those songs. But those will clear, and you'll be able to sit with God and hear from him. Now, I think it's interesting when Gabriel appears to Mary, you see this word twice. It says, greetings, favored woman. It's the first thing the angel says. And at the end, don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. I was kind of reflecting on that this week, and I was like, why would that be in there? Because I also realized, I think, when most of us pray, we come before God, we all have a little bit of a sense of guilt. Maybe our prayers sound something or begin like this. God, it feels kind of weird being here. Are you really going to listen to me? I mean, I know I should be living my life different. I'm probably not living the way I should. I should probably go to church more. I should probably join a group. I should probably do these things. God, I know I'm not as good as those people. So why would you maybe really listen to me? Is this even going to do anything? I think many of us have a mindset that why would God love me when there's more better, more successful other people in the world? Why would God listen to me? And I think it's interesting because oftentimes we view Mary in a certain way. We view her as she is holy, she is amazing. We need to be reminded today that God chooses to speak to every individual. I'd say it this way. I think God is more interested in your availability than your perfection. God isn't interested, are you the perfect person? God is more interested in, are you willing to spend quality time with me? Are you willing to sit with me? Because the truth is, the more quality time you spend with him, the better and better person he will make you and perfect you as the process to becoming to be the person that he's created you to be. Are you more available? If you feel like you're not worthy, if you feel like you're a nobody, there is hope for you today. Paul says it this way, if you can pull it up for me back there. And from 1 Corinthians, he said, remember, dear brothers and sisters, few of you were wise in the world's eyes or powerful or wealthy when God called you. Instead, God chose the things of the world that the world considers foolish in order to shame those who think that they are wise. He chose the things that are powerless to shame those who are powerful. God chose things despised by the world, things counted as nothing at all, and used them to bring what the world considers important. You may not feel important or powerful, but I think God would remind us, you are favored. I chose you. I love you. I knit you together. I know who you are. I know every detail of your life. And even despite all of that, I still love you. God loves you and he favors you. Again, I think when we think of Mary, we think of her more like this. Maybe you grew up with these images if you grew up in certain church backgrounds. Mary is sacred. Mary is holy. Mary is other. No one else will be like her. She is the blessed virgin, blessed among women, the Theotokos, the God bearer. And it is amazing. And she is other. And she did something no one else will ever do. However, I think maybe sometimes for some of us, we need to consider Mary more like this. In all reality, when God came and spoke to Mary, she was a fairly average 13, 14-year-old Jewish girl. Think about that, 13, 14, eighth grade, freshman in high school. Maybe someone that the world had thought, well, it's kind of marginalized. How often do we really celebrate and pay attention to the eighth graders or the freshmen of the world? From somewhere that was a small town, we know nothing about her before this moment. She was not all that important. In fact, what made her important was that God favored her. Bob writes in the background notes this week, I love this. It's a quote from Martin Luther. And he says this, Mary is magnified above all creatures because of her humility, her lowliness, and indeed, her nothingness. And that is what's actually notable. Mary is called blessed not because of her virginity or even her humility, but because of one thing above all else, God regarded her and favored her. Friends, God loves you. He favors you. Don't feel like you are nothing before him. So today I would say, first of all, this. Make yourself available to hear from God and remember that he loves you. Now, it was interesting. When Mary actually heard from the angel, she experienced some very, very interesting emotions. Look at this. Gabriel appeared and said to her, greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you. But what did she feel? Confused and disturbed. Mary tried to think, what could this mean? Let me say something. I think sometimes if we feel God is calling me to this, God has given me this grand vision for something that he's going to do, or he wants me to change in this way, or he's promising me this thing, I think oftentimes we can feel confused or even disturbed at what God might be calling us to do. And I'd say it this way. It's because we follow a God who is not safe. We don't follow a God who leads us into the comfortable. Instead, we follow a God who's on mission to move and reach the lonely and the lost and the hurting people of the world. So God will call us to reach those people, which oftentimes makes us feel uncomfortable. And yes, God certainly does call some people to leave their job, to sell everything they own and give to the poor. God calls people to move from their location, to go somewhere else because he wants them to do their work there. And God calls us to do big things. Yet God also calls us to do small things and to be faithful in them as well. Sometimes you get this feeling or a nudge or a thought that comes to mind. Maybe I should help that person. Maybe for whatever reason, you don't know why, but you've thought about someone. They keep coming back to mind and you maybe haven't seen them in a while. Maybe that's God saying, maybe you could reach out to that person and let them know that they're not alone in this season. Or when you're driving, maybe the thought comes, maybe I should pull over and actually help that person. Or maybe I could financially bless that person that I know that they've just been struggling and they're going through a hard time. We get these thoughts. We get these feelings. And this is what I'd say. I think sometimes we miss out on God's voice. We miss out on God's blessing. Not only for the people that I think he wants us to go and help and serve and love, But we miss on the blessing that would happen within us if we were obedient to God and got to see him work in and through us, the blessing that would be shaped and formed within our own life. I think we miss it if we are afraid to step out from and go into the uncomfortable and do what God is calling us to do. I would say this, don't let your confusion or your uncomfortableness or your even being disturbed stop you from doing what God has called you to do. And Mary is very interesting. So Mary is confused. She is disturbed. So the angel says, listen, I'm going to clear this up for you, okay? You're confused. I can see that. Let me clear it up for you. And says this, you'll conceive and give birth to a son and you'll name him Jesus. If you're confused, let me tell you exactly what's going to happen. You're going to conceive, give birth to a son. You're going to name him Jesus. And if you're Mary, you're like, okay, well, that clarifies that I'm not confused, but I'm even more disturbed now. How is this going to work? Don't you know? I'm a virgin. And I think it's interesting, of course, she responds in this way, but how will this happen? I'm a virgin. And this year, obviously, I read this story every year, at least one time. And normally when I read this verse, as most of us do, I get caught up more on the virgin piece, right? Because that's never happened before, probably gonna happen again. I wanna think about that. What can we do about that? This year, when I read this, I got caught on two different words that Mary said. The more I began to think about it, I realized these are the same two words that I actually use quite a bit. I'm guessing that maybe you do too. And the two words that caught me that Mary said was this, but how? How will this come about? I am a virgin. I think sometimes God speaks to us through someone, or again, a thought, a feeling, and he tells us his plans for us. He says, listen, this is gonna be remarkable. I'm giving you a grand vision of what I wanna do through your life, or what's gonna happen through your business, or what your family could be if you do these things. Isn't it amazing? And when we hear from God, we feel inspired, we're impassioned, we're like, yes, let's do that, that's amazing. That is the best future for my life because you created me, and I know that's where you're gonna take me, that is amazing. And then we say, but how is that gonna happen? God, I can't see the steps between here and there, and I'm fairly rational, so God, how is this going to work? How is this going to happen? And with that thought in mind, I want you to see what the angel replies to Mary's but how question. The angel replied, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. This is the answer to the but how question. Listen, my spirit is coming to be with you, or for us today to live inside of you. And remember, when the spirit comes, that is the presence of God, and he has all the power in the world. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power that lives within you as God lives within you as well. So we say, God, I know that you want to change me and transform me. I know you want to make me into a new man, but God, how can I overcome this addiction? I've tried before and I just can't do it. And God says, let my spirit come and live inside you. Let my power work within you. Let me change the desires of your heart, and I will be the one that actually brings it about as you follow me. We say, God, but I know you've given me this vision for my business and I want to do it. God, but how? I've crunched the numbers. And frankly, if we do that this time next year, we may not even be afloat. But how will you bring it about? God says, let my spirit and my power take care of this. Don't you know I'm the God that owns all the resources in the world? You be faithful on your end. Let me be faithful on my end. If I called you to it, it's going to happen. The spirit and his power is the answer to our but hows. Finally, I think I would say this, maybe more for each one of us. We'd say, God, I know you want to change me because I know I need to be changed. I know I need to be transformed. I'm a man. I'm a woman who frankly is fairly selfish, and at the end of the day, I'll do what I want to do. God says, let my spirit live within you and bring about the fruit that my presence always produces, love, joy, peace, patience, etc. Let God be the one that is at work within you. And never forget Romans 8:11, and maybe you need to circle it, go home and circle it and hold on to it. The same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is alive and active and living in you. And I think it's nice to hear that, but we always think, I've tried this before. I've tried to change and I fall short. And God says, you know what? In your weakness, in your failures, in your inability, let me be the person that can change you. Paul was wrestling with this and thinking through it, and he actually quoted God in his response to him, and he said this, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect and weakness. Friends, if you're looking at something in your life that God has called you to do and you're like, this is beyond me, it's too much, I can't do this, good. Because if you could do it, then God wouldn't have to be involved, would he? But if God could be involved in it, maybe he could bring about something new because his power goes way beyond you and he can be your strength and power when you are weak. And finally, we see in this passage, angel of pride, the Holy Spirit will come on you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. The baby will be born and will be holy, for he will be called the Son of God. And this says this, for the word of God will never fail. Friends, if you hear something from God, hold on to it because it's going to happen. Now, it may not be in the timing you want. It may not be in the way you want. It may not even look like what you thought it was going to look like, but it will happen. You know, it's interesting. This book is full of promises from God. There's over 1,000 if you go and read them. God said, this will happen. And maybe it was immediately, maybe it was thousands of years later, but it happened. It's interesting, even the scene that we're looking at, Mary talking to the angel, God said way beforehand, 740 years, this is what is going to happen. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 7, God says, listen, let me give you a sign. A virgin will conceive, and the virgin will give birth, and he will be called Emmanuel. Now, if you've been around the church, you're like, okay, this, we know this, this happens. But sometimes we fail to forget. 740 years before, God says, this will happen, and it happens. God's word will never fail. I'd say it this way. It makes me think of a family I know. There was a mom and a dad, and they had 3 girls at home, and they had a 4th child that was a boy too. So they got 4 kids running around the house. Life is hectic. Now they're starting to get to the age where if we're going to have any more kids, it probably needs to happen. And they begin to wonder, should we have another kid? There's been some complications and pregnancies, and so it's kind of a bigger question. Should we try this again? And so the mom one day is, you know, praying about it, which first of all, let me just say this. If I could go and speak to them, I would say, listen, I mean, you had 3 kids, you had girls, you had a 4th, it was a boy, so you got girls and boys, and you really want to add more kids? If you have more than four kids, I think you're crazy. Like, no offense, like Nagels or other people that are here that have more than 4 kids. I'll pray for you because it's crazy. That's probably what I would share with them. But the mom sat down and she began to pray, God, is this what you want for us? Should we do this? And she felt God's presence come around her and say, listen, if you have another kid, it will be a boy and I will use him for my kingdom. And the mom just felt God's presence, felt this promise from God and held on to it. Sure enough, they conceived, they had a baby boy and it was a boy. And she didn't really share this promise with anybody, just kind of held on to it within her own heart and didn't share it. The boy kind of grew up in church and started following God. And I bet there are moments where the mom was like, yes, I can see it. The promise is coming to fulfillment. The word of God won't fail. And then when the boy got older in his teenage years, went all over the map, living for himself, making terrible, destructive decisions that hurt other people, everyone around him, living for himself. And I'm sure in those moments for the mom, it would have been hard to say, how do I hold on to the promise of God? Did I mishear him? Did he misspeak? Was I wrong? Is it actually going to come to pass? But thank God that it did. And lo and behold, I finally realized God's call on my life. And I knew that God wanted me in ministry my whole life. I've been running from him. And so I said, God, I want to follow you. This is what you have called me to do. My mom shared that promise with me. I knew before you were born, this is what's going to happen because the word of God will never fail. So 8 years later, I stand where I stand. I am who I am today because the word of God will never fail. If God speaks something to you, hold on to it and trust that it will come to pass in your life. I tell you this finally, all any of us can ever do is to respond how Mary responded. She said, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. For us today, all we can say is, God, I am your child and I am your servant. Whatever it is you want for my life, make it happen. Do it within me, do it through me. God, I am your servant. We need to respond to God with trust and obedience. When Mary responded, she said she embraced God's will for her life. She embraced the uncertainty that lie ahead of her. She embraced the misunderstanding and the scrutiny from others. Can you imagine? Put yourself in her shoes. Oh, Mary, you're pregnant. You and Joseph? No. How do you explain that? she would certainly be scrutinized by other people. And often when we follow Jesus, people will not understand us either. She embraced the mystery of believing for the impossible. She embraced God's word. And because she did this, she'll be forever remembered for what God did in her and through her. Embracing for us means obedience and trust when we hear God. And if we do this, we should expect to see God use us in unexpected ways, accomplishing his purposes through us, doing way more than we could ever ask or imagine, according to the power that is at work within us. And we will see the Spirit of the Most High God being our strength and our weakness, and he will complete the work that he started within us. We can see God's power if we simply trust and obey, as the old song says. And we will see God at work in us and through us, and we will live life with him. I'd like to invite Mikey to come and to begin to play. And today, as a final just thought, if I could try to sum up everything I've said today, let me just say it this way. I had a moment this week driving home Tuesday night from work. Now, I don't know if you've ever been there, but I was frankly overwhelmed and I was stressed. And of course, at the time where I'm overwhelmed and stressed, it's also rush hour traffic in Chicago, so that's wonderful. And I'm driving home and I get all these thoughts. They just come to my mind. I don't know if that's ever happened with you too, but I'm driving thinking through, because when I get stressed, I need to check things off the list. I need to get things done to make myself feel better. So I'm driving, I'm like, all right, when I get home, I need to talk to my wife about this. It's a decision we need to make. We need to do it. All right. After that, I need to text that one person, make sure that someone can put together 1,000 candles for Christmas Eve. We have to make sure that gets done. And after that, I need to send some photos to the car guy because we're trying to buy a van. And then, oh my gosh, why did you just cut in front of me? Come on, Chicago. I love you and I hate you. Learn how to drive. And I'm like, I'm struggling. Right after that, I need to make sure I take care of this. It's Christmas. Why do I always wait till the week before? And I begin to feel my hands like clench the steering wheel. I feel my anxiety begin to raise. And all of a sudden I turn left, turn on 87th and it's facing west. And I turn, I see this beautiful sunset. I'm like, oh, let's pause for a moment. It was quiet in my car. God, you like to show off sometimes, don't you? Look at that, that's awesome. And I pause just long enough. And these lyrics from this song came back in my mind. I haven't heard this Christian song in like 6 months. But the lyrics come back and the lyrics say this: every little thing is gonna be just fine. Every little thing is gonna be all right. Even though I can't see it now, I trust that you will work this out for my good. Every little thing, every detail is gonna be all right. And I felt God's presence in me. Now it should have been this moment, right? As a pastor, as a Jesus follower, I should have been like, God, thank you for your presence. Thank you that you are God Emmanuel, the God who is with me, the God that will take care of these details. Is that how I respond? No. I'm driving and I say, yeah, God, that's great, but how? God, how are you gonna make this happen? No offense, but you don't send my emails, you don't send my texts, you don't have these conversations, you don't send off the bills in the mail. How's this gonna happen? How? And in that moment, I see there were some geese that took off above the brake lights and they kind of just flew off into the sunset. And this is why you memorize scripture, by the way. God can bring it back at certain times in your life. And I saw that and it made me remember the verse. It says this: don't worry about your life. You see the birds of the air? Do they feed? Do they work? Do they store away all their food in barns so they make sure they have enough? No. Your heavenly Father takes care of them. Are you not more valuable than they? So don't worry about your life. Can anyone add a single hour to your life by worrying? And again, I felt like God just said, I'm saying, but how? God's answer is, listen, remember who I am. The God who put the stars in the sky, the God that created everything you can see and far more, the God that has all the resources in the world. Yes, your problems are small and I care about them too because I know you and every detail, but could you just trust, obey, do with the thing that is right in front of you today. Trust me with the results of it. I think our response whenever we hear God say, God, I trust you. I'm gonna do what you tell me to do. And we will see God work in our life. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? As in each one of our services in this series, I'm simply gonna give us a moment of quiet reflection, if you will. I'm gonna ask you a few questions, but here's what I want you to think about. Was there anything in the message today that stuck out to you for any particular reason? Maybe that's God's whisper to you. Maybe he wants to talk to you about that and use this time to do so. Or maybe there's been something in your life you know you just need to do but you haven't done it. And God keeps bringing it back up in your life. Talk to God about that in this time. God, we use these quiet moments to talk to you. Bring back to mind what you want us to hear. Use your Spirit to guide and direct our thoughts. Help us to think about and talk to you whatever it is you want to speak to us about. Speak to us in the quiet, Jesus. God, we are refreshed in moments of quiet with you. Even 3 days away from Christmas, let us not be living so fast that we forget to spend quality time with you. God, as we do, help us to clear our minds so that we can talk with you. God, I trust that you will be present with us, for you're always with us. You're always around us. All we simply need to do is turn our thoughts and attention to you. God, would you speak to us? And as you do, help us to have faith like Mary. Simply say, God, whatever it is you've said, bring it come to pass. Help us not to get stuck in our confusion. Help us not to get stuck in our but how kinds of questions. Instead, let us trust. Let us obey. And as we do, God, I know that you will bring about your plan, your purposes, and your promises in and through our lives as well. God, continue to use moments like these to create us to be the people you want us to be. We love you, Jesus. We pray this in your name. Amen.
Thanks again for joining us on C1's podcast. If you're interested in your next step in growing your relationship with God, go to c1naz.org and click on Next Steps. There on our website, you can also find our service times and more information about our church. We'd also invite you to subscribe to our podcast so you'll always have the newest episodes. And feel free to share today's podcast with a friend who might need to hear it. Thanks again for joining us, and have a good day.